leaders dictate everything from what women must wear in public to who can run for office. It also put U.S.-Iranian government relations on a collision course, starting with a hostage crisis at the U.S. Embassy in Tehran that turned into a 444-day diplomatic standoff. In more recent times, Iran's nuclear program became a flashpoint for U.S.-Iranian relations. The U.S., along with Britain, France, Germany, Russia, and China, spent years negotiating a compromise. An historic breakthrough came in 2015 with the signing of the Iran nuclear deal, known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA. It was the signature foreign policy achievement of the Obama administration, a tribute to reformist Iranian President Rouhani, and an impressive example of what can be achieved when adversaries talk to each other. Unfortunately, Donald Trump, from the time he was campaigning for president, called it the worst deal ever and vowed to tear it up. His first foreign trip as president was to Iran's nemesis, Saudi Arabia, where he crowed about clinching Saudi arms sales worth $110 billion, most of which were deals already signed under Obama, and denounced Iran as a nation that spreads destruction and chaos across the region. He subsequently looked for ways to quash the nuclear deal, imposed fresh sanctions, and even included Iran on the list of countries whose residents were banned from entering the United States, despite the fact that not a single Iranian has ever taken part in a terrorist attack on U.S. soil. Trump's effusive embrace of the Saudi rulers and antagonism towards Iran is not really a departure from what has been standard U.S. policy for the past 40 years. The Iranian government is certainly guilty of many abuses, including gross violations of free speech and assembly, restricting the rights of women, imprisoning dissidents, and executing people for nonviolent offenses. But when juxtaposed with Saudi Arabia, the U.S. ally is far more repressive internally. Iran has flawed national elections. Saudi Arabia doesn't have national elections at all. Iran's women are restricted, but Saudi Arabia is a much more gender-segregated society. The West applauded the 2017 Saudi announcement that it would allow movie theaters, albeit segregated, while Iran has had a thriving film, theater, and music industry for decades. In terms of foreign policy, Iran has plenty of blood on its hands, from its involvement in overseas attacks that have killed civilians to its military support for Bashar al-Assad in Syria. While not excusing Iran's record, it is nevertheless fair to hold it up against the track record of Saudi Arabia. For decades, the Saudi regime has been spreading its extremist Wahhabi beliefs, which form the ideological underpinnings of terrorist groups from Al-Qaeda to ISIS. In 2011, it crushed the nonviolent democratic uprising in Bahrain, and in 2015, it started bombing neighboring Yemen so mercilessly that millions were left hungry and displaced. I document these abuses in my book, Kingdom of the Unjust, Behind the U.S.-Saudi Connections. Of course, U.S. foreign policy is even more bloodstained. It is ironic to hear U.S. officials accuse Iran of meddling in the region, meaning the Middle East, when Iran is part of the region, and it is the United States that has been sending its military to meddle in the region, including the 1991 Gulf War, the 2003 invasion of Iraq, and the 2011 overthrow of Gaddafi in Libya. The U.S. also has a sordid track record of meddling in Iran's internal affairs. It helped orchestrate the overthrow of elected Prime Minister Mossadegh in 1953 and reinstalled the brutal and unpopular Shah, paving the way for the Islamic Revolution of 1979. In one of Senator Bernie Sanders' rare foreign policy talks, he used Iran as an example of how U.S. intervention and the use of U.S. military power has produced unintended consequences that have caused incalculable harm. What would Iran look like today if their democratic government had not been overthrown? Senator Sanders asked. What impact did that American-led coup have on the entire region? What consequences are we still living with today? While we don't know what Iran would